Hello and welcome to the sound of the start of your weekend. Am I doing that right, Ali Maxwell? This is the Not the Top 20 betting show. I am back. I'm your host today, George Ellick. And I'm joined by our guest appearance, pro punter Nick Goff joins me again, as he has done for the last two betting shows with Ali. Goffy, I've had to spend the last 6 years podcasting with Ali Maxwell. You've had to do it for 2 weeks. How did you find it?
First of all, George, have you pushed the record button?
I have.
Because the public weren't made aware of this, but I'm gonna unveil it now. Me and Ali did the last betting show, and 5 minutes after the end of going through everything, he had to call me back and say, I'm sorry, Goffy, I haven't recorded it. Can we do it all again? Which obviously I took in that magnanimously, as you'd expect of me. But then we went on the show and Ali never mentioned it. So I thought, well, let's get a little gentle dig of Ali in now for that one.
I expect when you send us your invoice, you'll put in an extra episode, given that you actually recorded two of them. I think that would be totally fair. This show is sponsored by Betfair. It is, of course, a betting show with Goffy and I giving our picks ahead of this weekend's EFL football. And in that case, it is, of course, for 18-year-olds and over only. Do visit begambleaware.com if you want to check up on the risks of gambling. Very important that you do so and always ensure that you're gambling responsibly. But we've got one game in the Championship, weirdly, and then pretty much a full slate on in League One and League Two. But bizarrely, loads of games on Friday night. Loads of games kicking off early on Saturday because of the World Cup games. You know, clubs obviously keen to maximise matchday revenue by enabling fans to both come to EFL games and also watch the World Cup as well. I don't know about you. I mean, I have just had a child the last 3 weeks as a blur of nappies and World Cup games to the extent that I can't remember what happened an hour ago. I feel like I'm watching World Cup games and then about 10 minutes later after the game's finished, I've got no idea what game I just watched. So going into the research for this was interesting. It kind of, looking forward to getting the EFL back and running. How much of a focus are you going to have on these games over the weekend?
So I basically put the FA Cup second round in the bin.
As did I.
Decided that something had to give during a World Cup. Really, with your FA Cup stuff, you want to wait until an hour before kickoff and see all the teams anyway. You don't generally, I don't want to be having too many bets before teams in the FA Cup. There are edges you can find with managers that you know that are saying they're going to change or have changed in the past. But I didn't have time for that sort of research this time. And 2 o'clock on a Saturday, I just figured during a World Cup, I have better things to be doing than to be looking at FA Cup second round team news. So I just didn't bother. So I've had a complete week away from EFL. I noticed, as you said, there's one Championship game. I've not even bothered to look at that. I'm just giving Championship another week off as well. But I did spend some time yesterday going through League One and League Two, partly because I was appearing on this pod. And I better have something to say. And partly because there will still be bets in League One and League Two this weekend. So it would have been, missing out on potential turnover by not doing it. So the 2 weeks ago with Ali does feel a long time ago. And teams have had a little bit of a break. Those that didn't play in the Cup may have had a week off and gone away, some of them. I'd imagine basically the whole of the Premier League's been in Dubai for the last 2 weeks. So maybe some of the League One and League Two boys have been there. Or, I don't know, maybe Tenerife for them.
or the Welsh ones.
Yeah. But
just now to clarify, that is because rather than being a slur on any Welsh people, that's because 2,500 Welsh fans went to Tenerife for the England game because they wanted to watch it in the sunshine on a big screen. That wasn't just saying that Welsh people go to Tenerife, just to clarify.
Yeah, that passed me by. Although I did see a video of some English and Welsh people in Tenerife, not exactly covering themselves in glory. So I didn't realise why there were so many out there. But okay, that makes sense now.
Did you know that there is a Luton are playing Millwall at, I think, 12:30, the day of the World Cup final, which in my mind is one of the most extraordinary. Imagine if England were in the World Cup final, a Luton Millwall fan's going to pile out of the Kenny and just get into the pubs of Luton to hold hands and unite in supporting the three lions together.
Well, I don't think those two clubs' fans will be holding hands. I don't think there's a fair bit of history there. So,
yeah,
I didn't realise that was the day of the World Cup final. I'm in New York for the World Cup final, so I'm kind of hoping England will be there. That'll be quite a good experience to watch that if if England are in it, but I wouldn't be holding my breath for that just yet anyway.
Well, let's get into the picks. You've been a very popular guest on this pod. It was kind of galling on the day that my daughter was born to be getting loads of Twitter notifications saying, more of a Nick Goff, please. Please, can we keep Nick Goff on? Yes, please. Goffy's a shrewdie and all this stuff. So I was sitting there being like, yeah, I wonder what this means about me. But we'll get into the Naps first. As ever, Naps, next bests, goals bet, LA, and a goal scorer bet. And interestingly, I sent you last night a message just saying, this is my Nap. Send me over your picks. Make sure there aren't too many clashes. And it is a certified double Nap, which is good news for me because it means I can hand over to you and you can take it away. Both of us choosing. You can tell us who.
League One relegation battle, Saturday lunchtime between Milton Keynes Dons and Burton Albion. And I've got to go with the team who are playing really well in the bottom four at the moment, and that's Burton Albion. Since Dino Mamry has come in, they really do look like a side that should be in the middle of League One. But there's still a six-point gap between the bottom four and safety. And it's going to be tricky for anyone to get out of there, even though, you know, the sides like Accrington and Cambridge, who have been on bad runs, they're both well-managed clubs who are going to pick up points here and there. And so getting out of that League One bottom four is going to be tough. But if any of the four are going to do it, for me, Burton are the ones that can. Being 22nd in the league really disguises how well they're playing at the moment. They stuck six past non-league Chippenham last week to boost confidence. But before that, they really carved Argyle open at will the week before in a 2-2 draw. Unlucky not to win the game, although it was a very late equaliser. They outplayed Charlton in a 3-3 draw before that. And then they had a couple of the harder away games in the league where they lost 4-2 at Sheffield Wednesday, but there's no disgrace in that. And the week before that, they went to Bolton. They were 1-0 up after 87 minutes and they conceded two late goals there. So some of the results just haven't made clear how well Burton have started to be playing. There's loads of goals in them. They're proving that. And on the other side of the coin, MK, they've shown a few little signs of being better than they were at the start of the season. Let's be honest, first 2 months of the season, they were probably the worst team in the league. They're a bit better than that now. There's some signs of improvement, but not really enough. They haven't shown like a big leap to make you think, they're definitely going to be fine now. Even though they did suck me in for a little while to think that it is turning. The last few games, again, have been pretty poor. They've only scored twice in the league once since the 1st of October. So if we think Burton are full of goals at the moment, and MK really aren't, I'm just surprised to see Burton here as underdogs. And I don't think MK Dons the sort of side when things are going badly, there's just no home advantage at all. Teams can take as many fans as they like there. Then it's not exactly a vociferous crowd. When the chips are down, it's a nice place to go and be an away team. And that's exactly the situation that Burton are in here. And I think at 21-10, I would have been sort of closer to 7-4, 13-8 here, Burton. And good enough for a Nap.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, we're seeing the price drift towards the mark you are. I think there was kind of 5-2, 9-4 a day or so ago, the curse of doing this on a Thursday. But it also feels to me, I mean, in terms of the data itself, if you're looking since the beginning of November, so the last month, I think Burton are 6th or 7th for expected goals ratio. MK Dons is still negative despite their 3-1 defeat against Derby, skewing that somewhat, where I think it was kind of 2-1 in their, or 2.5 in their favour, even though they lost the game. They are still, I don't think, playing particularly well. And then in terms of just the style of the two, I think this is a game, you know, if you're going to have a game between two teams and their manager's image, I think Dino Mamry will really fancy going to an MK Dons side who we know relentlessly play out from the back, who we know will have a very soft centre and don't offer too much going forward. We Burton themselves, as you say, full of goals and full of attacking directness, I would say. And they are, in my mind, the perfect team to be siding with at the moment, where there's a tangible reason for the performances improving, where Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was replaced by Dino Mamry. That has instigated the change. There is clear, you know, statistical evidence the performances are better, but that hasn't really yet shown itself in terms of wins. And it's just a matter of time until that happens. And where better to do it than against one of the poorest teams in the division, who I still think the market seemed to overrate due to some weird preseason. Well, I mean, I had them fourth, I think, in the league preseason, so I wouldn't call it weird, but a hangover maybe from good seasons past. So yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. It's a double nap, Burton, for both of us at 21-10. Next best, you're going back to the well, the Crawley.
I just realised you're on like 10 naps in a row, aren't you?
Yes.
I feel a bit of pressure here. If the well, first time I've double naps on is the first time you get one beat, am I going to get the blame for this?
Is the well, I'm sure people are going to claim that I've just, in an attempt to get another nap up, just followed you in. But I can show the receipts from my message to you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does it still count? Does the run end if you kind of bow out?
No, I don't think so. It's not Wordle.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I've done about 500 nappies since the last nap went in. So it's time to get back on the nap train, and I'd absolutely love a nap or two as well quite soon. Yeah, Crawley, next best.
Yeah, next best, Crawley, 11-5 at home to Swindon. I napped while you were busy with the nappies, and I was at the Dally. I napped Crawley about 4-1 away to Warsaw in their last league game, and they went in front after about 15 minutes. Dom Telford scored, and I made a big point about how the front three at Crawley were finally starting to gel, and they got the three of them. Nichols, Nazian and Telford in the team, all three of them in the team together for the first time, and maybe that was going to be the thing that turned Crawley's form around. 10 minutes in, one of them scores, and then they go and concede 2 minutes later. And I think when you're back in these 4-1 shots away from home, it feels like you get one bite of the apple, and you go 1-0 up after 10-15 minutes. When you concede straight away, you can't be on good terms with yourself, and I thought like straight away that was our chance to get this bet won, and we've probably just thrown it away. 20 minutes later, they get a red card, and they did hold out until injury time, got beat 2-1 in injury time. I thought a 4-1 is a good bet, but you just can't go giving that equaliser away the minute after you score. That totally kills you, and it happened. But a lot of the reason for that selection hasn't changed. And in some ways, actually, it's strengthened now, because I think Crawley are the sort of team that are absolutely ripe for a new manager bounce. And they've brought in... The football manager favourites, Simon Davies and
Camp manager
and Matthew Edmonton. So,
Championship manager.
Yes, it was Championship manager in those days, wasn't it? That combo have come in. I'm interested in the process there of how the crypto bros have come to this after the Betsy thing. It would have been very easy for them to go down the tried and tested route, and to go and find an old school football manager to come and keep them up. And they haven't done that. And I've got quite a lot of respect for that, actually, that they've stuck to principles here of what they want to do. Now, ultimately, these guys are going to have to get some results. Otherwise, it's going to be a double failure. And the only thing worse than failing once is failing twice. So there's pressure on to for them to have got it right this time. And I don't know whether they will or not. I don't know. I've got to be honest. I don't know enough about Etherington and Davies' coaching to know to have a real strong view on whether they will get it right. What I do have a view on is that the squad Crawley have got there, and the little signs of improvement that they've been showing over the last 5-6 weeks under the caretaker suggest to me it could easily be one of those new manager bounce spots. And this is something you have to look for, because everyone talks about new manager bounces, but they don't happen every time. In a lot of cases, things never change. So you need to analyse on a case-by-case basis each new manager situation that comes in, because new manager bounces do happen sometimes. They're just not every time.
But isn't what you're arguing here, though, is that this will be a genuine new manager bounce, as opposed to what I think people often misconstrue as a new manager bounce, which is when a manager gets sacked after a run of really unlucky maybe results where they haven't been quite as bad as it's looked, and then obviously naturally that corrects itself when the change is made, because it's always going to. Whereas this, what you're saying is that there's a reason why this squad should actually improve under the manager.
I think that's spot on. So this isn't a anti-Swindon view. Swindon actually come out on my numbers. They're very complimentary to Swindon. Their last six performances make Swindon, for me, a bona fide playoff contender. Not quite a top three contender, but they'll be there or thereabouts in a playoff race at the end of the season, where, you know, Crawley won't be because of the way they've started. They, you know, just need to stay in the league and try and get themselves up towards mid-table this year. But sometimes in football, you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I wonder whether that's a case here. And, a price bigger than 2-1, around 11-5, 9-4 Crawley. that's the sort of chance that I'm willing to take in the EFL in these spots where I think I may have spotted something that the market won't latch onto.
Great stuff there. Crawley again, hoping that under Matthew Etherington and Simon Davis, they're building quite a weird kind of five-a-side team of previous managers here. Kevin Betsy in there, Harry Kewell, Yemsey in goal, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what Gabriele Cioffi was like in his playing days. Pretty good, wasn't he, as well? So, yeah, maybe that's the way they're looking. On then to my next best. I was going to put up Tranmere at Northampton, but the price has basically gone overnight. So I've had to find my next best, which is Carlisle, who are 7-5 at home to Sutton. And again, it's a case where I think Carlisle basically all season have been one of the better teams in the division, and we're starting to see that play out in their results and have done over the last few weeks. Their home form isn't great. You know, it's been pretty good over the course of the whole season, but they've only won one of the last four, and that came against Doncaster. But the games themselves have been difficult. You had the 3-2 defeat against Leighton Orient, which again, no harm in that. Leighton Orient top of the league, and rightly so. And then a stalemate against an improving Walsall side last time. But the key for me here is Sutton, who have been so impressive under Matt Gray since they came into League Two out of the National League, and for large parts of last season looked like they were going to be playoff contenders. In my mind, they looked for the first month or so of this season like they were going to be playoff contenders. But things have taken a turn. I have a feeling this is probably a bit of a case of them being found out. I think their very attritional style, a slight reliance on set pieces, means that your first experience playing against Sutton is going to be a bit of a rude awakening. You probably get to grips with it the second time, and by the time you get to the third time, you kind of know what you're going to be facing up to. And there's only one seeming way that they go about looking to play their games. And Matt Gray has spoken in the press this week about how, you know, this is a difficult time for them, but important to look at the bigger picture and remember that Sutton staying up in League Two is a hell of an achievement. And I don't think at the moment the market is necessarily caught up to the fact that unless things improve at Sutton, they're going to be a team who are looking to survive rather than a team looking to replicate last season's promotion push. Carlisle under Paul Simpson, as I say, have been so impressive for a long period of time. They look to me to be a team who, if they continue their current performance levels, should really be challenging for automatic promotion contention rather than just playoffs. And it's just a generous price at 7-5 for a home team here. You know, if I'm right, and this is automatic promotion contenders, a top five team up against a bottom six team at home, then to be getting that 7-5 is not to be passed up. So yeah, my next best is Carlisle there at home to Sutton. On then to the lay. What is your lay bet on the Betfair exchange?
I'm going to lay Bolton around 185 at home to Bristol Rovers, because I think that Bolton are a bit overrated by the market in general at the moment. So I opposed them on a betting show a couple of weeks ago when they drew 0-0 at Cambridge. We wanted Cambridge to win there, and they missed a few late chances to do so, but we were the right side of the market, I think. And Bolton are getting out of jail with a lot of late goals. They got two late at Fleetwood to win 2-1 from 1-0 down. They were 2-0 down at Accrington 1-3-2 a few weeks ago. And then the Burton home game, which I've just mentioned recently, where they were 1-0 down late and scored two. And in between those times, they lost to Oxford. I mean, who loses to Oxford? So I just think that the Bolton are being priced as if they're like the fifth or sixth best team in the league at the moment. And I don't think they're playing that way. On the other side here, on the Bristol Rovers side, they got beat at home in the FA Cup by Boreham Wood. And that will sting, because the being associated with one of those giant killings and being beaten by a National League side looks and feels bad. The perception is very different to the reality now, though, that those sides at the top of the National League are just really good, and they can go and beat lower League One and any League Two side any time they want at the top of the National League without it really being much of a golfing class. It shouldn't be that much of a surprise. But the stigma it's got to it, because when it was a real giant killing, still exists. And that will hurt Joey Barton. It'll hurt Bristol Rovers and hurt the fans. And I'm backing Joey Barton here. Whatever you think of Joey Barton, I think he's done a pretty good job here, and he can get responses to bad performances. And I want to be with him here to get a real response. And I just don't think Bolton should quite be odds on here. And you can lay 185, and I think I would lay them all the way out to about 195, maybe even evens.
Strong pick there. Yeah, laying Bolton at home to Bristol Rovers. Goffey's lay on the exchange. I'm also in League One. I am looking to lay Charlton, who are at home to Cheltenham at... got to find what price I laid them at. 1.8, Charlton at home to Cheltenham. a few reasons for this. Firstly, there's a lot of off-pitch stuff going on at the moment at Charlton. Fans not particularly happy with owner Thomas Sandgaard. His ownership looks like it's coming probably to a close fairly soon, hopefully with rumours of buyers shortly coming into the club. But not for the first time at Charlton. There's a big disconnect between the fans and the ownership. And we've seen in recent weeks how this has impacted negatively the performances as well. Looking back to that 2-0 defeat against MK Dons, which I don't think anybody saw coming. They are under Ben Gardner. You know, I don't think fans are particularly on board with what Garner's doing either. At the moment, there's kind of little to like. I think the squad is obviously pretty good. But they are winless now in the league in four. Their other home game is that 4-0 draw against Ipswich, which is obviously a good result. But they were 4-2 down in that game with minutes to go. And last time we saw them, they were beaten 1-0 by Port Vale. So it's not a particularly happy camp. And Cheltenham are a weird side, in my view. You know, they're not a team that I've really got a great handle on. They seem to either completely be able to shut up shop and grind out results, or have ridiculous games where they are taken to the cleaners. But there's some semblance of basis for this. You know, we saw them go to Portman Road at the beginning of November and get a 1-1 draw at a side far, far superior to Charlton and Ipswich. And we've seen them beat Bolton, who are currently sitting fifth. They've also gone on the road and avoided defeat at both Port Vale and Exeter, again, who are top half sides. So, and better, in my view, than Charlton. So, as I say, precedence for this. They seem to be a side who relish come up against the bigger or better teams in the division. I think Charlton's certainly bigger, maybe not the better. And another classic case where if things don't start particularly well for Charlton this one, it could become very awkward. I think we'll see a fairly small crowd, but the fans that do go showing their displeasure at what's going on off the field. So I think, similar to what you were saying about Bolton, I wouldn't be backing Charlton at even money. So to be able to lay them at 1.8 seems to be a pretty fair way to go. So Charlton, my lay this week. Goals and goal scorers next. I'll hand over to you for your goals bet.
Yeah, goals. There is a clash hit in League One of the I chart something called net output, which is classed as the number of good value chances created at one end plus the other end in each team's game. So net output per game. And in the last six games, the highest and second highest in the league in League One are Ipswich and Fleetwood for total threatening chances, potential goal opportunities at either end in both teams' games. And you can bet about 8 to 11, close to 4 to 5 over 2.5 Ipswich versus Fleetwood when it's currently my two highest output teams. A little stat for you on Fleetwood is that they have scored in every single away game this season.
Wow.
And if they go to Ipswich and get a goal here, you'd have to be very confident, wouldn't you, of copying the over 2.5, given the way Ipswich play, how good they are and what they're doing. So I think we can see from Scott Brown that they're not going to necessarily go there and try and play for a 0-0, because they've been places like Portsmouth and Peterborough already. It's not just weak opponents they've been to. They've been to some good clubs in this league and have scored. Their average in terms of what you should expect from them, very high. And Ipswich obviously have the highest creation in the league for themselves. They are the best team in the league. They're probably going to win the league. In five of their eight home games, they scored at least twice. And at home to one of the bottom six here, you'd fancy them to do that. I just think that everything points to goals here. And over 2.5, getting close to 4 to 5 seems fine for me.
Nice, over 2.5 goals. Ipswich versus Fleetwood, your goals pick. For me, back into League Two, and Goffy, would it be fair to say that at this current moment in time, taking the last 4 to 6 weeks, Stockport County, one of the better teams in League Two?
Yeah, I think you could. I think you could argue that they're actually the best team in the league.
Mm.
There's only really Orient and Stevenage who would, you know, would have that arm wrestle with you. I think other than with a possible exception of those two, Stockport are playing the best football in the league at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and I basically wanted to find a way to get with them at Hartlepool this weekend. They are very, very short, and you know, too short to even think about putting them up as a selection. They are 8-15, but I'm putting up BTTS no, which is 4-5 in this one. Basically, in the hope that it's going to be Stockport to nil, which is 6-4. Hartlepool had a semblance of a new manager bounce under Keith Curl when he first came in. But looking at the expected goals ratio since the beginning of October, they are second bottom. I think any improvement that we've seen from them has been pretty short-lived. Josh Umara is clearly a pretty lively striker. But apart from that, it's hard to find any strength that they've got. And I think Stockport's strength is basically based on their very, very solid defensive unit. I can't see why Hartlepool would create much in this one. I think Hartlepool would come into it fully aware that a draw would be a good result. And I guess the good part of backing BTTS now at 4-5 rather than the 6-4 10 is that you've got the 0-0 on side if they are able to pull off that rear guard action. Stockport are a far, far superior team and I think should be able to see this one off pretty cozily. So, I don't really see why Hartlepool would be able to create plenty of chances. And this seems like a good way to get with, as I say, the best team in the division, possibly against the worst or maybe one of the worst as well. So, BTTS, no, my goals pick. Before we get on to goal scorers, as I say, this podcast is sponsored by Betfair and they have a Bet 10 Get 2 promotion. Get a £2 free bet with Betfair when you place £10 worth of Accas on the EFL this season. Must have a combined minimum odds of evens or more, maximum one free bet per day. The free bet is valid 48 hours on Accas or Bet Builders. Terms and conditions do apply, over 18s only, and do gamble responsibly. Goal scorers pick now. And we know, Goffy, that people like to follow in on these, don't we? So let's find out what you've put for us this weekend.
This could be my last appearance on the pod, so let's go out with a bang. I'm going to the same game and I'm going to have 1 point each on two goal scorers in the same game.
Great.
Peterborough versus Barnsley. I'm going to get against Peterborough. I think they can't be trusted really at the back. They're conceding goals at the moment. Three at Shrewsbury in the cup last week. Three at Exeter not so long ago and four against Chelsea under 21s, although albeit a changed team. But they are conceding goals. I don't necessarily trust them at set pieces. And I think Barnsley have got two centre-backs in Mads Andersen at 20-1. And Liam Kitching at 22-1, anytime goal scorers, who we can both back for a bit of value here. They've both scored once this season already. Kitching actually scored the first goal in a 1-1 draw with Port Vale. And Anderson scored in the League Cup game at Leeds, where they lost 3-1, I think. But they scored there and he scored that goal. So they've both got on the score sheet once. I've looked back through my numbers of the last 8 or 10 games. Since the end of September, there's only been one league game where at least one of these two hasn't recorded an attempt on goal. And in multiple games, they both have. So it's fair to say if we back two players here at 20 and 22, we fancy ourselves we're going to get an opportunity. And that's at these prices, that's all we're looking for, is to latch onto something. And that one, the funny one we had a couple of weeks ago where everyone backed it and Betfair said he was Tom Lockyer was the most backed player to score other than and Haaland that day. He had three opportunities in the same game. So all you could ask for happened. We just didn't cop. But here, maybe we will.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Love it. Two players there against the field at big prices. Fingers crossed. One of them, or imagine if both of them go in. Where's the party going to be if that happens? I am going for a shorter price. Ellis Harrison to score any time at 11-4 against Plymouth Argyle. I'm a bit worried about Argyle. Goffy, you and I have both got anti-post tickets with their name on it. And I think often, you know, I've mentioned plenty of times this podcast as a slave to the data, I'm quick to point out when, you know, Northampton or Swindon or whoever else it is are projecting, are playing, basically getting results far better than their data. It's becoming hard to ignore that Argyle You know, the numbers are on the slide, basically, and it probably comes a time where Mike Cooper can only do so much. I do think it is significant that they do have a goalkeeper who, in my mind, is already a very good championship keeper and should probably get a move fairly soon. Hopefully it's not in January for our sake. But their defensive record is impeccable compared to the chances that they're conceding. And you've got Ellis Harrison, a player who's already scored 7 and 15. He's never been particularly prolific during his career so far. But he hasn't scored in the last four. That might look as if, you know, it's time to start swerving him. But he's had, I think, 14 shots in those four games and expected goals of 0.33 per 90. Port Vale, we know, are a side who create plenty. Daryl Clark's doing a fantastic job. And I basically think that this is a blip which will end fairly soon. This isn't the start of Harrison regressing to the mean. He's still the focal point for their attack. He's coming up against a team whose defensive record is better than it should be. I think 11-4 for him to score any time is a big, big price against a side who I anticipate will go to home park and have their fair share of chances, even if Cooper does thwart them again and it goes the same way. So there we have it. Those are our picks this weekend in League One and League Two. Thank you very much to Goffey as ever for joining us. Goffey, do you want to go through your picks again, if you can remember them off the top of your head? Ali does this to me, and I absolutely hate it.
Burton to beat MK Dons away is a nap. Crawley to beat Swindon was the next best. Laying Bolton about 185 against the Gas of Bristol Rovers. To over 2.5 Ipswich Fleetwood. And the two centre-back goal scorers for Barnsley, Mads Andersen 20-1, Liam Kitching 22-1. I'll settle for one of them scoring, but you're on party for both of them.
Excellent. Yeah, double nap, Burton, my nap as well. Carlisle at home, Sutton, my next best. Laying Charlton at home to Cheltenham. And then BTTS, no, and Hartlepool, Stockport, my goals bet. And Ellis Harrison, score any time for Port Vale at Plymouth Argyle at 11-4, my goal scorer. Thank you very much, Goffey, for stepping in for myself and then Ali. All being well, I think Ali will be back with us next week unless he's got a taste for the beach life and decides to stay on Bamford Island for a little bit longer. But yeah, all being well, he will be back. But Goffey, maybe we can persuade you to come back on. You've certainly been a popular guest over the last few weeks. Do remember to check begamblerware.org for all betting risks. Please do ensure that you're always gambling responsibly. But most importantly, do enjoy the football this weekend. Hopefully a couple of winners in there as well. Have a great weekend. Go well.